So welcome back to Pax Europiana, to Peace in Europe and our discussion about it. Thanks a lot for your patience also with my Austrian English and also with my from time to time small breaks, and I thank you very much for your attention. And now I come to this conclusion of the section about the EU enlargement history. And obviously, I think if you listen to some of them, you found the conclusion is quite simple. France is always against enlargement, and America is always instrumental and key to enlargement in all aspects, from the start of the European Union in 1950s and 57, in 73, in 68, in 95, in all different forms of enlargement. From the start, it was American liberated Europe united, the six countries. It was later and the American allies of the Second World War to basically drop in the crisis of the 70s into the European Union because there was no alternative in this terrible 70s. Again, the American client states of the Southern Europe then to join the European community in order to also benefit basically from this German, Western German economic motor, which was already, after it has been rebuilt and reinstitutionalized completely from the currency, from the constitution, from all aspects of ideology and leadership, it was so successful that it lifted up the whole of Western Europe and Southern Europe, and also the United Kingdom became then successful only in the European Union in the 80s, and this is the way we won the Cold War, and then we could include the neutrals in 95, and then, by the way, join NATO, and then also the Central and Eastern European Europeans, the first 13, and then we had this crisis of American leadership since 2013, and the massive intervention in the American political system, the gradually partial, or maybe in some aspect complete takeover of the Conservative Party in the 2010s and by the Russian interests, there's no doubt about it, and so the lack of American leadership in Europe leading to a complete freeze of enlargement in Europe after 2013 together with the financial crisis. Now we have been in the most complicated phase when we lost the country in 2016, the United Kingdom, again the Russian asset Trump supporting this Brexit. And that was completely outrageous thing to do for American president, because what is his interest in dividing Europe or having the NATO countries divided? It's completely against American policy since 45, since the victory in World War II, and it was reversing all American policy, which was carefully drafted and so successfully to get Europe united, and he publicly supported it. It was not the only reason, not the only part of the Russian strategies to get Brexit done. That was obviously a number of them, but it certainly did not help the yes vote. It certainly helped the exit, the Brexit vote, that even the American president is more or less in offering a better future together with America. Something which was never really on the table in that sense. Yeah? And we could have done TTIP before, I mentioned that often, and maybe we could have avoided this Brexit anyhow. But it was this lack of American leadership which led to this European crisis. Now America is back and we have this opportunity to reignite enlargement. And I very much hope that this will happen exactly as I proposed, because it makes a lot of sense that America supports its allies in NATO, and that's the three allies which are still not in the European Union, and that's of course Albania, North Macedonia and Montenegro, to join very fast in the European Union, and with the cohesion instruments which we have only inside the European Union, then to be much faster catching up and also undermining again the case, strengthening or the underlining the case that is always behind the EU enlargement, that the prosperity is increasing and the differential between free societies built after the American democratic model and this part of Europe is more successful than the Russian part or before the Soviet part of Europe. And this is basically how you win without the military confrontation, ideological confrontations in which we obviously are intensively since 2000, but in a very clear, brutal way since 2007, since 2008 again, and 13, 14 in a full escalation. So basically, this is the story. If America leaves Europe to the Europeans, Europe will fail, and ultimately it will fall into Russian domination. Why? It's not that we love Russia in any way, but Russia is simply the biggest country in Europe, in Eurasia, obviously. Much of it is in Asia, but it's a very dominant power. It has the same population like France and Germany united, and that's a fact of our history. So without America as a counterweight, it will be in a divided Europe, and we never will be as united as it would take without America. We will always be picking cherries on the tree, having different offers by the Russian leadership, and it will never work very well. So without America, we will fail. Without America, we will also not take new members. And without America, the whole project will erode by time, because we have a lot of differences in Europe which cannot be so easily overcome, unfortunately, because it's in any country, the politicians are always mainly responsible to their, also ultimately elected by their regional electorate, and they respond in their language to their own needs. And when there's a crisis, automatically the reflex is close the borders and take what you can, and care less for the rest. And this is unfortunately the mechanisms we have in the European Union. And maybe by decades and decades of further reform, we will overcome it. But now the priority is not further deepening, but the priority is, as it always was with enlargement, to get the poorer parts into the European Union in order to allow them to catch up faster. So we have less internal migration, is also an argument, but we have also a higher prosperity differential towards the non-Western world in Europe, meaning the Russian world. And that must be, again, the way to win also the Second Cold War, as I have outlined already. But in this one, I want to focus on enlargement. Which countries? Again, it's very clear. Three countries are in NATO already. This is this wonderful country of Montenegro. I want to describe you beautiful mountains, a seaside, a wonderful history of complications and difficulties, fighting for the freedoms from various outside forces, the Venetians and the Ottomans and the Serbs and also the Austrians, yes. Yeah. And we all were fighting for this wonderful country. It's very mountainous, very complicated to access. And so the core of Montenegro has always kept a certain independence against the big powers. And they had unfortunately lost their independence on the 1st of December 1918, when basically Serbia was building this kingdom of Serbia, Slovenia, Croatia. The Montenegrins, while ever they were an independent state already from the Berlin Congress, didn't get again this independent status and didn't even get a mentioning in this new kingdom, because they were a small nation. And the Serbs saw them as a kind of part of them, and so they were militarily suppressed from the first moment onwards, and there was a resistance movement until 1926, the Green Montenegrin movement. So what happened is that now they had the re-emergence of the independence in 2006. I actually was on that day in Montenegro. It was very close to my heart, this country, and I really love the people and the place. It's beautiful, and I can just recommend to take Montenegro in the European Union in this mandate. It has also as a currency the euro. It is basically, it has adopted the euro unilateral. Not everybody in Brussels or Frankfurt was pleased, but this was the best policy to do. So there is no currency adoption necessary. It has already since 2002 the euro. And it's, economically close to Bulgaria in the GDP, our poorest member state at the moment, at about $9,000 per GDP. And that's a decent living standard for the entry into the European Union. And it is also in the foreign policy, and that's also most important, the foreign policy. Do you really want to be part of this policy community of the European Union? It is completely compliant with most of our policies. It has supported Ukraine. It is not a Russian proxy in any way, which some have slandered Montenegro. No, in all the political questions, it was always with America and with Europe. And that's a clear yes to Montenegro in 2022-23, very fast in the European Union, perfect. Coming to the next country, which is also ready, and we would be fools to lose it again, because it's North Macedonia. It was a major success to get the name change after 30 years done. It's now North Macedonia, and now it's also then the NATO membership. That was a tremendous effort of the Western community, obviously, with a lot of support. And this was possible, very complicated votes in the parliament, in Skopje, and so on and so on. All insiders know it. It was really very complicated. So now to delay for some, you know, they have not adopted that law fully, nicely, or their performance in one sector is not full. That we can do inside the European Union, inside, like with Bulgaria, like with Romania, like with Croatia, like with everybody else. Yeah? There's even no perfection in Austria. I can tell you many things I don't like in Austria and they need to change, but okay, that's in a normal situation. By time, hopefully, when there are political majorities, things can change, but not to further delay the membership of North Macedonia. That would be utterly foolish. And also when it comes to Albania, it's absolutely time for Albania to join the European Union. Together, all three countries. It should have joined already with Croatia. Sadly enough, we were not ready, but that was the only logical step at that time to do, to include it. But no, now we still have to all these troubles. Albania has a wonderful geographic condition. It is also very important mineral wealth. It has also great people. It is obviously a complicated political situation, very complicated, toxic politics. Yes, okay, but let's heal it inside the European Union, inside where the stability will come, also the body politics will calm down and the consensus will develop. Obviously, as you know, I have already called for the euro adoption of Albania and of North Macedonia. That would be, I think, a very good step also of these countries and to show that they really want to join now very fast. And this kind of also showing from themselves that they want to join by adopting the euro would make these three more countries joining very fast, very feasible for America to hopefully support. And then we would be again the European Union of 30 countries. And then also the next enlargement of the new NATO allies who hopefully will join in 2024 very soon, the six new NATO allies I call from Eastern Europe. That would also be very logically then, because the consequence of the three new members would be very clear to Serbia, to Kosovo and to Bosnia, and to intensify the reform efforts, and also for Ukraine, Georgia and Moldova. So all these six countries together with the six EU neutrals should join then in 2024, but not all at the same time. Bosnia should already join now, in this year. Bosnia is basically ready with the NATO preparations. It just has a political resistance because Russia, via the Serbia, is blocking again via Banja Luka from the Republika Srpska the accession to NATO. And you know, what can we do to change that? Because we have to basically make the Serb voters an offer. They cannot resist. NATO is a voluntary association, they have to want that. So it has also to come with a package. And that's what I propose in the so-called Highway for Peace deal. That's again the NATO adoption in Bosnia. That's also economically no problem at all. And it's already pegged to the euro anyhow, this currency, the Kosovo, the Bosnian convertible mark. And so the situation is quite simple. Invest in the highways. We do that anyhow, but do more. We have anyhow the euro as condition for all new members. So front load the euro and adopt it now. and also open the labor market of the European Union for the Bosnian citizens. That's of course very attractive for Bosnians, whatever ethnicity, and this will make a huge impact in the dynamic, because it shows that the EU is serious, that NATO is serious, and it is also this optimum kind of cooperation between American military leadership in the military alliance and European economic offers and economic integration. And this is actually what we should coordinate. Yeah? When now the big cold start of everybody wants to talk to Biden and is competing who is the first one to talk to Biden, this is really what is the key to settle our mutual strategy between EU and NATO. We are now a rich continent organized in the EU, and we can also offer something to a mutual strategy to solve the continental issues like Bosnia, like Kosovo, like Ukraine. So this is the way, what I call Pax Europeana, that it's not only America alone doing everything, but we contributing in a coordinated strategy for peace in Europe. It's our continent. We should be very much concerned by it. And the way to have peace is obviously NATO enlargement, and NATO enlargement then hand in hand with EU enlargement. So the prosperity and the security goes hand in hand, and it's accelerating and mutually reinforcing each other. And so this makes a lot of sense. But obviously, you know, if the French go have it their way, that will never happen. And if the Germans, they want to make the extra deals with Russia, a peace here, Putin will call, yeah, this has also electoral consequences and everybody is concerned. And then there will be no enlargement ever again, because all this kind of, you never know, Putin might be angry, it will be a mess. So obviously we have to have more unity between America and European member states, but we also have to not to fear anything but fear itself, as it was famously said. Yeah. If we always fear Russia, we are paralyzing ourselves in a kind of a situation in front of, I don't know the English term, how you call it, when you have the snake here and the rabbit looking at it, totally paralyzed until it's eaten. And if we do like that, we will fail for sure. And we will not solve any of the fragile situations we have in the Balkans still and in Ukraine. They will only heal inside our institutions. And so it's so important to combine the economic integration methods and tools. I have outlined all of them in the first three sections of this podcast. And then also have, by time, also then the accession and the membership. I'm not rushing things, because you call Mark into rushing things. Yeah, let's remember how fast everything went in the first enlargement wave after the Cold War. This was 15 years for Poland. It was 13 years for Estonia. Sorry. And how long is Bosnia at peace? From 95? And we are now in 2021. Or Macedonia is at peace since 91, more or less, with a small specific escalation of violence. But even if you call it 2001, yeah, and you started, we have much more time now than is gone past since 2000, when the Balkan is at peace in general. And then it's now 21 years. How long you want to wait? The French have made it clear for 2035. So I tell very clearly, that's the French vision. Somehow after Macron is in retirement, then the next enlargement will happen, because they want to build a very perfect European Union before, and best, a sovereign European Union. That is a translation, I explain it very clearly, for protectionism, anti-Americanism, and no more free trade agreements, and some kind of competition with America for global leadership in a way, somehow building on the pretext that America is in decline, Europe has to come up. No, this is what I strictly oppose. Peace in Europe can only happen with strong alliance with America. And this is the way there will be peace in Europe. And no French vision of megalomania dividing Europe, because there is no majority behind that. France doesn't represent Europe. France, I mean, this is if we go that way, we will have to see The next crisis is actually looming. It will be coming the next French presidential elections because Corona and the economic crisis attached to it. And the way President Macron runs all this operation and his presidency. Maybe we have a big crisis with Le Pen being the president of France. And what we do then? Who will support enlargement then? I'm sure that the French right of Le Pen is absolutely supported by Putin, and then France will definitely oppose all enlargements. And we have this window of opportunity for only 1.5 years now. So do we get progress now? Or can we stabilize the presidency of President Macron to be somehow serious and be re-elected? He needs also some concrete results. And what I say here are concrete results. More unity, containment of Russia, enlargement of these 9 countries in the European Union, and it will not be any major burden for the European Union. And it will not, anyhow, the taxes in France are already so high, so there will be no need for more for higher taxes in Germany. We just have to have the decent mechanisms. And this is the way I propose it, to have 37 countries. And not listen to the French, but we need American leadership. I think I was very clear in that one. So have I talked about the first 3 countries? Now, of course, to talk about peace in the Balkans. Maybe you have seen some of my videos already. I also have a video channel, but I've talked in the summer extensively about it, about the need for a peace treaty between Kosovo and Serbia, but also include Bosnia in that one, and all 3 to simultaneously come to the WTO and simultaneously adopt the euro. Kosovo has that already, but Bosnia and Serbia to adopt the euro, and also Bosnia first now to come to NATO in 2021 as a role model then for first Kosovo to go into the Partnership for Peace in 2021, and both countries, Kosovo and Serbia, to conclude a peace treaty where NATO membership is the result of this. And that opens then the way for EU membership in 2029 for all 3 countries. And in the case of Moldova and Georgia and Ukraine, it's very clear, as I have said in several of the podcasts, and the settlement is the German BRD, the Western German integration, first the euro, secondly NATO. I will repeat how it was in the BRD, in Western Germany, 48 the German mark back to the euro, then 55 NATO membership, 57 then the Treaty of Rome. And the same is now to be done for these 3 countries. Obviously, NATO membership for the region of Transnistria, for the region of Crimea, for the region of Eastern Occupied Donbass, and for the region of South Ossetia and Abkhazia is not possible. And they will be staying outside NATO, they will be staying outside the European Union. And once they want, they have to make a referendum, once they are allowed, basically Russia is allowing them, because these are Russian-controlled territories today, and then there must be a referendum, and the offer is to rejoin Georgia, Moldova, and maybe also without the referendum. In the case of the Eastern German regions, and that's my role model here, in Saxonia didn't do a referendum. They had a vote in the Eastern German parliament, and then the regions joined the Federation of German States called BRD. And now we have Germany, Deutschland again, as a NATO member in the euro and in the European Union. And exactly that's the role model, constitutionally, politically, economically, technically, also for these 5 breakaway regions which Russia is occupying, is exactly that. And so that is no hindrance for NATO and EU accession. And exactly now, at this moment of the Navalny crisis, Putin is in this situation. He has to focus on this domestic security and democratic challenger, which is actually, I like him very much, and I watch his video with great pleasure. If you have never seen any of his videos, you have to see some of the Navalny videos, because they are showing the corruptness of the Russian justice system, the money laundering in Europe, in Austria, in Greece. It's very shocking material, and also the most famous now about this big palace and showing the rise of Putin. That's obviously great material you have to see. But what I want to say is that it's now the moment in this crisis in Russia and during the corona where Georgia and Ukraine and Moldova have to adopt, in my view, and I recommend it very heavily, the euro immediately, and then to create facts. And then basically it's clear for everybody. Once you have the euro, the future is clear. Institutionally, you then have to do the NATO membership and the EU membership. But once you have the euro, you are in the European currencies situation. And it's very clear for the consumers where the journey goes. It's very clear for Russia. It's very clear for the Europeans and for America and for everybody. So that's why I call so intensively on Twitter to join to adopt, in a sense. They should not join the Eurozone. That's only for EU members. Romania should do that, and Poland, and Croatia and Bulgaria anyhow doing that now. And also Hungary and Czech Republic, hopefully soon. 1 second, please. So the euro is the tool to speed up and create facts. Created now, at this very moment in 2021, Russia had little options to act on that one. Yeah, they will not nuke the world and self-destruct itself because Ukraine has the euro. I think it's, you know, it's a very terrible vision, but it's not going to happen. This is not happening. Yeah, so the situation is that's the choice of free nations. What kind of currency systems you have? If you love very much the hryvnia or the lari, you will probably wait many decades then until there's the next opportunity to join the European Union. But if you do the things now, fast track integration in that decade is absolutely possible and very recommendable. And it starts very much like in 1948 with Western Germany with the euro. And this I call also the American leadership now. Recommend this to Ukraine. Use the euro as well as a tool for peace in Serbia, but also for fast-tracking the integration of Georgia, Ukraine, and Moldova in the European Union. And make a deal with Germany to get the EU potential candidate status for these three countries as well. That's the first status, or the second status after association, which is necessary now to get. This is attached with a lot of additional funding. And, you know, this is something to ask the Germans and the French in these conversations now. If we don't have it, I will make another podcast in 20 years and Ukraine will not be in the European Union. It's now the moment to get this done and make sure that happens. And it's a small step institutionally. There will be no different German or French elections for the fact if Ukraine is EU potential candidate or is EU associated candidate. Who really in the world knows that? Few people care, but it makes a big impact for Ukraine's future and for Europe's future. So I think I got my point across. I want to thank you for the attention. I will now close this chapter about history of EU enlargement and future of EU enlargement. And I will go to the topics of economic reform necessary to win the Second Cold War, and generally highly recommendable in all aspects of a free society, because we have to have a better prosperity levels, and we lack a little bit this entrepreneurship spirit, the economic tools. We are a little bit stuck in the economic thinking of the past, and we have to refresh our economic thinking. And here the reform movement in Eastern Europe is a very good role model for Western Europe and for Africa, for Asia. And it's a very interesting part. I will make a second part of this. Notice the seventh section will be about economic reform. And it goes hand in hand logically. Now after institutional reforms, what is needed, I will talk about the economic reforms that are needed in Central and Eastern Europe, in Ukraine, but many of them also in Southern Europe, in Northern Europe. And it's about lower taxes and about currency reform, small and medium enterprises. And I will talk about all these aspects in the future. Now I would like to close the section about EU enlargement history. I hope it was interesting, and please, wherever you are, support and the enlargement of Europe and Ukraine to join the EU, Kosovo to join the EU, Moldova, Georgia, Serbia, Bosnia, and obviously also Albania, Montenegro, and North Macedonia, always in the cadence, first NATO, the Euro then, and then also the European Union as a consequence of these two major integration steps. Thanks a lot for listening.